you back up.
Joanne, could I give you the mic so it's recorded?
Sure.
Do you not want it recorded?
Okay, I'm just going to hold on to it.
If you want.
I might start singing.
You could do that too.
Hello. I can't hear myself, so you're safe. All right. That is the wrong page, and I can't find my mouse. There it is.
Do you want me to run the PowerPoint for you? Would
that be helpful? No, I'm all set now. Okay. Does anybody know what the four means of grace are? That the Lord works through in our lives in the church. Now can I name them? It's prayer, the sacraments, worship, and fellowship. Did I get them right, Kit?
Word and sacrament.
Word and sacrament. There, okay. You should hear me recite the Ten Commandments. I get them all mixed up, too. So, anyway, fellowship is a big one. It's one of the big four, and it's really important. I think generally the RP Church does a great job. Our fellowship dinners are a good chance every month for us to sit down and take it easy and talk with each other and just get to know each other a little bit better. And I kind of thought of it as that hospitality is a focus on fellowship. And food is fellowship flux. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever done any soldering, but this is a solder pen, and you press it up against some small little thing that you want to heat and stick things to, and then you get some soldering wire. It's usually lead or some other material like that, and you put it down there, and it melts, and it sticks. Well, you can be sitting there, and with your heat pressed to the point, and it doesn't move. But you take this stuff, it's a rosin, and you put it on the tip of the pen, and immediately everything flows. Everything goes where it belongs, and it stays there. So I think that food in a fellowship context is a lot like that. So Jesus' example in John 13, and of course I have it on Genesis. One second. Well, anyway, you're familiar with the story. It was just before the Last Supper, and Jesus started washing their feet. And Peter said, no, you'll never wash my feet. And he said, well, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part of me. And a big thing that he said was, and I'm doing this for you. There's a reason. I want you to do this. And just before this, the disciples were all arguing with each other about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. And so I kind of thought there were two things going on. There was one, the serving, the great serving the lesser, and then the lesser who thought they were great, humbling themselves to be served. And I think, so there's two parts to hospitality. One is giving hospitality, the other one is accepting it. Don't be afraid to go to somebody's house. I'm sure you're not gonna, even if you break a glass, I think they'll get over it. So, especially if they do my style. So hospitality is based on heart service. In the Old Testament, we had a lot of laws that were laid down. You're going to do this, you're going to do that, and you're going to do it this way, and then it will be okay. But in the New Testament times, under grace, our service is from the heart, and we serve because we were served. This passage really moved me because he said, I brought you there with all my might and all my soul. Therefore, you shall love the stranger as yourself. You want to love the stranger with all your might and with all your soul, even though it's difficult sometimes. Sometimes it's very easy. So, This is, I looked up, I was trying to find a picture of the Abraham at the Oaks of Mamre, where he served the angels. So that was an important point in the bigger part of the story, but it's not the entire thing. I just wanted to read a couple things. Abraham was sitting under a tree. He lifted up his eyes, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. He said, please, please, come in. Let me show you hospitality. And then he ran. He ran to procure the comforts that would be nice for these folks to have. He was very, very eager to serve them. He ran in, he told Sarah, get the flour, make the cakes, kill the calf, we've got company. So he ran to greet them. He honored them, he called them Lord. He had their feet washed, and he brought out the best he had. This is going to be really quick. So this guy reminds me of Abraham in that, because he loved to bring out the best that he had. And a lot of people will recognize this position with the pizzas. Peter was very eager to show hospitality. And a lot of times we would not invite anybody ahead of time to see if anybody at church showed up to see, so that we could offer them hospitality. And we had a big family, so we would always had extra, just eat a different kind of lunch for the rest of the week. But very eager, a real inspiration to me. You may be growing up in a house where hospitality is shown, and you may not. I did not grow up in a house where we had people over for dinner, or even invited in people that we weren't related to. So when I became a Christian, my husband had a little more experience with it, and we were shown hospitality by Kit and his wife and some other families in the church, people that just had us over, and we said, yes, this is how we want to do things. And so we just started doing it, and I think the first time we had anybody over, we'd been married for 2 or 3 months, and I tried to get out the good china, but I only had like 3 pieces. My flatware didn't match, and I kept apologizing for it. And this very wise lady that we had over said, none of this stuff is important. It's being here. And then I was able to relax, and I kind of moved ahead with that, and we just kind of took it as it came. And it worked out real well for a lot of times. Look for opportunities. You know, people are not always going to show up. You maybe sometimes you have to go out and ask them. And there's joy. It's a very joyful thing to break bread with people and get to know them. So what does it look like? Not usually like that. What was I going to say here? It was going to be really good, so you'll just have to take second best. Bring out your best. So it doesn't matter if your stuff is nice, if your food is gourmet quality. Just bring out your best. I looked at a couple of websites, and I've got some credits at the end. Grace Pittman and Jamie Blamett have some really nice things to say and encouragements for showing hospitality in your home, and I encourage you to look at those if you ever get a chance. It doesn't matter where we live. It doesn't even matter that we show hospitality in our house, have a picnic, invite somebody out for coffee. It's when you are face-to-face with someone over a table, you are telling them that they're important, and people You may not see the fruits of it. You know, Apollos planted, Paul watered, and God gives the growth. That's you bring out your best, and it works. It really is a great thing, and it's such a bless. It will be a blessing to you. Maybe your hospitality looks more like this. And that's fine. And I brought my support crew here. And so I want to, I told you about the first, and I'm going to tell you about the worst. We were worshiping in Oswego, and we lived down near Central Square. So it was a half an hour to get to our house. And we invited some people from church. And it was a long morning at church. We had worship. We had Sunday school. People stood around late and talked. And I'm sure that by the time they got to my house, they were starving. We walk in the house, and the oven is cold. The turkey that I had put in there to feed these, like, 10 people had never turned on. So fried potatoes and scrambled eggs will get you through almost anything. And we had a great time. I would even say that you could invite people over just for those. So that was the worst. One of you ladies want to go first and share your first and worst?
So my first, I'm Karen Beckhusen. Oh gosh, I might start singing too. was when I was first married, and I had come from a house that did do hospitality. However, when I married my husband, he came from a home that did too, and his German parents, who are lovely, gracious, industrious people, always had us over and people over on Sunday afternoons for high tea. It was a wonderful tradition that they did, and she served wonderful homemade torts, cakes, and things. And I entered into that, learning how to drink coffee but not make it, and enjoy that very much. When I got married, we had them over for the first time with some friends of theirs, some long-standing German immigrant friends of theirs, who were coming to our home for some cake and some, well, they didn't know what they were coming for. We were just going to serve just some snacks and see our wedding video and open gifts. And I thought I was doing a good job by taking a chocolate candy bar and cutting it within the lines and serving it on a small tray and some cheese and crackers. And that was all we did. And it turned out to be just fine, but it just seemed like, you know, I should have done a little bit better. So I could tell they were kind of disappointed because, you know, I didn't serve the cakes and the ice cream and all that kind of stuff. I thought, well, they'll get over it. It was fine. So I learned it didn't have to be about the food. And they are such gracious people. And I've come a long way since chocolate candy bars cutting in the lines, by God's grace. But so that was my first experience, just serving a little something in the house for some very impressive in-laws, and I wanted to impress myself. My worst happens, I've done a lot of hospitality, and God's been so gracious with anything that's not come out well. Usually it's what I'm embarrassed by that might be deemed the worst. And I think I served a lot of people after church one day with lasagna. I wasn't really apt at making lasagna. And I worked hard on trying to make this, but it burned in the oven. And I remember sitting at the table, and one of my worst fears about serving at all is when I'm on the spot trying to cut a cake or cut something that's supposed to come out really well. And this lasagna was burned, and I was hacking at it with the spatula that I wanted to get out of the pan. And it took me about 5 minutes to even get the first piece out. It was so embarrassing, and somebody yelled, "Get new equipment." So we did. And I said, "Gerard, please go, you know, get another knife or something," and we got through it. But it was just embarrassing to sit there and hack at this thing. And then the dessert, I had also made some pies, and I had not learned about these couple pies I had made. The crusts were fine, but I had gone to a certain particular Mennonite store to get some filling, which didn't have any fruit in it, which I didn't know about. And I poured it into the pies with no fruit, and that's why I served the pies. I thought that should have had fruit. Everybody was gracious, of course. But these kinds of things embarrass the hostess, so that's why they're worse for me. It was still a great time, and we still had things to eat. They just didn't come out so great. But over the years, I've learned hospitality evolves, and I'm still evolving, and I'm learning what's really important, and I'm learning, I've learned to cook better and bake better, but I've learned, I think they're right about the glue, the food being the glue, but the people are the important thing, and being able to share and being able to express themselves and being loved is what they care about. And so that's what I'm incorporating now is prayer and trying to anyways, and some other things that are important for the spirits of those that we're serving and helping my heart be right too. So that's about.
Well, first let me say it was great to have you guys here this weekend. I always enjoy seeing all our young people. So a couple things. Joanne mentioned learn to accept hospitality. That was actually hard for me at first. It was spring, I want to say 1993, and Brian and I were just newly attending the South Salina Church, and we were sitting behind, I did not know them at the time, Ken and Becky Smith and all their kids. And I remember sitting there thinking, wow, this family has a lot of kids, and I don't hear a peep out of any of them. And then at the end of the service, Becky turns around, she looks at me, and she says, would you guys like to come for dinner? And I'm looking at her like, I don't even know who you are. I don't know, you know. And then I said, okay, sure, fine. So we went to their house, and it was just a great time of fellowship. Wonderful cook, great examples to me, especially now, all these years later. But also, I wanted to share with you a story that is special to my heart. And it was spring 2001, about that. And we had this new family come and visit us at our rental property, which was the North Syracuse Community Center. And in walks David and Barb McCune and their two little girls. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, I have absolutely nothing prepared. So I hate to admit it, but the whole service, I was not listening to my husband. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I could make eggs. I could make pancakes, cereal. Well, maybe I won't invite them because I don't have anything. Well, after the service, I was out in the parking lot gathering the kids at the time. They were little. And one of our congregants comes up to me and she says, I would have the McCunes over, but we're going to my mother's house. Would you like to have them over? And I said, well, I would, but I really don't have any. I don't know what to do. She goes, give them pancakes. Okay, I'll try the pancakes. So I sheepishly went up to the McCunes and I said, would you guys like to come for dinner? All I have is really pancakes, but, you know, it's might be a good time of fellowship. Well, it was. It was a great time of fellowship because we learned that David likes to put peanut butter on his pancakes just like Brian does. And the girls ended up growing up together, very special relationships. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to serve. God always provides, and learn to accept hospitality if it's offered. So now it's Barb's turn.
And we loved those pancakes. Those were really good. But everything they've said is just very right on. And I grew up with a family who my dad was a pastor in the RP church. And so we had people in a lot. And so that's really where I learned about hospitality. It was just a natural thing in my family. But for myself, I didn't really show hospitality in the true sense of the word until I got out of college. And I had moved to live in Pittsburgh with my sister. She was newly married, and her husband, she and her husband had me living upstairs, and I went to the church with where they went, Covenant Fellowship in Pittsburgh. And Covenant Fellowship was very much about community. They really encouraged people to have community and live in community. And so John, Brenda's husband, my sister's husband, had before they got married, he lived in this house with four other guys, and they themselves showed hospitality. So guys can show hospitality too. So they would have a crock pot, and they'd fix a soup or whatever, and they would have folks in from the church or friends. And so that was John's group of friends. Brenda, same thing. She lived in a house with other women, other girls, and they were working, and they did the same thing. They showed hospitality. So when they got married, they just kind of spilled over. And so there I am. I was probably 21, and I was working. And so John and Brenda, so Brenda's 9 months pregnant, and she and John were going to have the guys, the house of where John had lived, the guys over for a meal. And it was one of the guys' birthday, I think. So Brenda was planning this big meal, and she decided to go into labor. So she's like, "Barb, do you mind if you just carry on with the meal?" I was like, "Okay." So I tried to carry on with the meal. And John had to take Brenda to the hospital, of course. So just a long story short, it worked out fine, and the meal was fine, I think. And the baby was born, and he was beautiful, and it was all a happy ending. So, but I just remember I was very nervous about all that. So that was, I guess, my first. When I moved out of John and Brenda's after that year, I moved into a house with several other women and working women, and we just continued it. We just continued to try to show that hospitality. And like Joanne said, you don't have to have the best, you don't have to have the most beautiful, but just whatever you have, you show that you enjoy having people in and you want to bless them. My worst was when David and I were early married, and we were living in Dubois, Pennsylvania, which is this little tiny little, I don't know how many, 8,000 people, just off Route 80 and in the middle of PA. And David's father, so David's Irish, so his dad was coming from Ireland. His mom had passed away the year before. And so he was coming to stay with us in our little basement apartment. We lived in the country in a house. It had two apartments upstairs, and then we had the walk-in basement apartment. And it was in this beautiful area, and the house was kind of built into a hill. So you walk into the basement apartment, it had sliding glass doors, and the bedrooms were at the back. So David's father starts from Londonderry, Northern Ireland, early in the morning, and I think he had like four flights to Belfast and then to New Jersey and then to Pittsburgh and then to Dubois or whatever, five flights. So he got in at about 10 p.m. and David had gone to the little airport to pick him up. And he arrived and I made him his porridge, and he was this very gracious, wonderful man. And he himself was a pastor in the Irish RP church. But I was very nervous about, making sure everything was done right for his dad. And I wanted him to be comfortable. I had cleaned the apartment. I had put him in the one bedroom we had. We took Annie, our baby, out of there and put her in with us. And he went to bed. We all went to bed. And in the night, there was a thunderstorm and our basement apartment flooded. So we woke up. I remember waking up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, and it sounded kind of echoey for some reason. So I got out, and there was probably about 3 inches of water I stepped into. And so anyway, just the rest of that time, we had to just take stuff out. We had to throw stuff out. We all got up. And so all the effort I had put into making the house or the apartment just right, you know, and getting it all comfortable was for nothing. It was, everything was stacked up and ruined. And but, you know, it just reminded me that what is this all about? It's not for me, it's for others and to bless others. So how can I do that when, you know, now everything's, I'm thrown off kilter. So it was just a humbling lesson for me. And it was just a reminder too for what do we emphasize and what is important. And that's relationships. So I think we went out to eat a lot that week. So, yeah, that's it.
Thank you very much. I have two hints. If you're nervous about cooking, of course, it goes with a little story. Years and years ago, many moons, the Oswego Church was just starting up, and we all lived in Syracuse. I don't know if you had moved up there yet or not, but my husband and I had purchased a piece of property about halfway between Syracuse and Oswego, and we were bringing a caravan of Syracusans up for the Bible study in Oswego. And we were pressed for time, and it was, you know, we had a couple hours, so we stopped, we drove to the back of this property, and we were supposed to eat before we went up there, so we were behind in the time, and we started a fire, and we charred some hot dogs over the fire, and one of the guys said, "I don't know what it is, but these are delicious. If you let your guests get hungry enough, anything you make will taste good." And that's Deborah Gerner brought this phrase after your classical education. She sent us this little card after we had made her and the kids wait for a meal one time. It means hunger is the best sauce. The other thing is, especially when you're just starting out, find something that is probably economical, you know, depends on your situation, but find one thing that you can do, that you can practice, and serve that to everybody that comes to your house. You'll be famous for it. So early on at our house, it was pizza. Earlier than that, it was any kind of pasta, and in the later years, Peter's specialty became pork roast, which he got really, really good at. And guess what? It's cheap. It's, you can feed a lot of people with a pork roast. And he would come home with like a 12-pound pork roast, and I'd be like, "You better invite a lot of people because I don't like it left over." So it was. So is it really important? In a way, it is. And what makes it good is that it's coming from your heart, like the slide that we saw earlier, that the Lord brought you out with all your might and with all his might. And so do this with all your might, because you're not just serving people, you're serving God in it. I have a group of friends that are not Christians. I've known these people since I was 14 or 15 years old. And it's a shrinking circle because of age, but there's about 8 or 10 people. And over the last 10, 12 years, there have been some resentments cropping up among them, that there are some disagreements and kind of hard feelings about things. And toward the end of last year, I started having dinner parties and inviting these folks over. And I'd see nothing fancy. Come on over, we'll eat, we'll have a couple glasses of wine, we'll play some music, and we'll just... And I have seen, like, the first occasion, there was an outright argument. And then the next occasion was better. And the next one was even better. And so people are feeling better about each other. I mean, we're precious to each other. And it's important that we do that. So I have a little, I don't know, it's kind of a long clip to show you. This is from a movie called Babette's Feast. And these people live in Frederickshaven, It's in Denmark. It is like on a far northern point of the southern part of Denmark, and they live on the shores, very, very isolated. This took place, it starts just before the French Revolution and ends after that, around the turn of the century. But they live on, you see them cooking at the beginning, they're breaking brown bread into a bowl of beer and boiling it and putting dried fish in it. So this is what they eat. This is, and they live where they live. It's all stones and wind is whipping around. Just not a really great place. Well, there was a sect, a Christian sect there, led by an old man and who was assisted by his two daughters. And they had this little gathering of followers. Things happened over the years. And eventually the old man died and the sisters carried on the tradition of caring for this little flock that they had. But the same thing kind of happened with this little flock that was happening with my friends. They had these resentments that had built up, and it wasn't, this is not a movie that you want to take any theology from. So they had some superstitions. They had a maid who had kind of washed up on the shores fleeing from the French Revolution, who had been a superb chef in Paris. And I'm telling you all this because we're not going to see enough to develop all this. She was a world-famous chef. And she won the lottery, and her only wish was to serve a French dinner for the founding father's anniversary of his birth. And so they were worried about it. They were, like, worried about the appeal of the flesh and that it might corrupt their souls. And so they gathered together before this dinner, and they determined not to praise the food at all. There's like a duchess or something that lives in the town, and her nephew, who is a world-famous general, familiar with Paris and the Danish court, he's in town, so he comes to the dinner too. So I don't know if it's right to say it's funny to me, but oh wait, I think I have another slide. Yeah, credits, and I can share this with anybody. This was fun. This is a really good one. It has a very old-fashioned name. This blog, youngwifesguide.com, very not politically correct. But so let me change my source. And I love this movie. It's
I think it's in subtitles.
Yeah, it is subtitled. It's in Danish and it's subtitled. We're talking about inviting strangers into our home. I want you to remember that you want to serve from a position of strength. If you have little children, that or your household is somehow vulnerable, you may want to consider carefully who you invite into your house. And that might be opposite to what some people say to you. My father is a Christian, and he, over the years, has invited some really wacky people home. But when he was doing that, he had three sons who were in their early 20s and late teens, and there was nothing was going to happen that my brothers wouldn't allow to happen. And so he was serving from a position of strength. I know of one pastor who just invited anybody into his house until the day that somebody burned his little girl with a cigarette. Mm. And so that caused him to be more circumspect about what he did. And the peace and safety of your family are what you owe to God. They don't belong to you. And a very wise man told me one time that you cannot give away what does not belong to you. So
keep that in mind as you serve, but take the opportunities that you have. You got six guys in a dorm room, you can have anybody you want at any time. Or if you are uncomfortable and you still want to serve somebody, you can have it, you can have a picnic or take them out for coffee, that kind of thing. But I'd just like to say, serve. Don't worry about the externals. Yes, food is important, but the point is, serve from your heart, bring on your best.